بشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما ربنا زدنا علما ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين آمين آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are we all doing today? Alhamdulillah, I'm good too. Thanks for asking. And our Ramadan is going well, inshallah. Yes, Alhamdulillah. I can see your messages, but I think they come a few seconds later. So this is why I take a little pause, just so your messages can come in and so I can see, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, I hope, inshallah, we may take advantage of Ramadan and can we believe, subhanAllah, that we are halfway through? So, subhanAllah, we have gone halfway through the month and it has been a beautiful journey so far, I think we can all agree. So, inshallah, let's make sure that we keep striving and struggling and keep going through it, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts so far and allow us to remain steadfast as we continue on during the rest of Ramadan and after Ramadan too, inshallah. Let's move on to our hadith for the day, inshallah. Abu Huraira reported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever calls to guidance will have a reward similar to those who follow him without detracting from their rewards as well, or at all. So this is from, that was a mistake, this is Shudha Sahih Muslim. So Sahih Muslim and numbers reference is there as well. So subhanAllah, we've been constantly reminded to implement the knowledge that we're learning ourselves and to share it with others. Any knowledge that we gain, and so subhanAllah, this should motivate us more to keep on taking in guidance, taking it in within ourselves to implement it, and then to share it with others as well, inshallah. And hopefully, this will motivate them even more, inshallah. Okay, we do have a few announcements, inshallah. So first of all, tomorrow, inshallah, is our last session. And subhanAllah, we have many, many presentations and feedback audios come through from all of you. Zakumullahu khairan kathiran to everyone who sent it so far. And if you haven't done so, you still have time to send it in. So please do this before the beginning of tomorrow's session. Secondly, tomorrow's session will be a little bit, it's not compulsory, but it is something that many of us are getting motivated to do. And inshallah, we'll actually be sharing it tomorrow. That was my next point. In tomorrow's session, we will be sharing some of your presentations and feedback, inshallah. So our session will be a little bit longer tomorrow, inshallah. And I hope that this does actually motivate others as well. To send theirs in, and you still do have time, but I think that you can't send it now. Please do have a go and send anything that you learn, any gems, any points of guidance. And anything that you've learnt in the course, anything at all. Okay? Thirdly, our third point, it slipped out of my mind. Yeah. So tomorrow, inshallah, is our last session, and we will have some exciting announcements, which will be for further, we can say further courses or something, inshallah, in the future. So please don't miss it, inshallah, and do invite others, your friends, and others to join in as well. Okay, inshallah. Zakumullahu khairan kathiran. I do apologize for the voice again. I'll try to fix it. If not, you'll have to bear with it. I do apologize, though. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We'll move on to our first session, inshallah.
Jazakallahu khair, Sister Harin. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilma, Rabbana zidna ilma, Rabbana zidna ilma. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Wa alaikum assalam. I can see a lot of salams there. How is everyone? I am fine. Alhamdulillah. How are you all doing? Very good. MashaAllah. Very good. Okay, for the dua session, I have not given much feedback this week as I'm waiting for more duas because we hardly got any duas this week. And also, I heard some nice, good feedbacks from you all, mashallah, and jazakallah to everyone who has sent, and those who have not, they can still send it in before tomorrow's session, inshallah. So let's start our dua session. Let's move to the next slide, inshallah. Okay, in this session, we will do a recap of all the duas that we have done so far, because today is the last session of our dua session. I will see you all tomorrow for a few minutes, but for the dua session, today is our last session. What we did so far was the etiquette of dua, where we saw that tawheed and sincerity is very important when you make dua. Also, fate of our dua, that what happens to our dua, the power of dua, that it can change one's decree, so make dua often. The importance of dua that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is the essence of ibadah. We also saw the six supplications that never go rejected. I'm sure you know those. Can you all mention just one? Which supplication does not go rejected? Yes, traveler, very good. Fasting person, mashallah, very good. Yes. Parents, awesome. Beautiful, operas, yeah, mashallah, very good. And last week we saw places and times where dua is answered. We covered a little bit of this portion, and today we will try to cover a few more places and times where dua is answered. Let's go to the next slide, inshallah. So last week we saw was the times where dua is answered and places was Laylatul Qadr. It's coming very soon, so make sure you don't leave this opportunity. Make dua as much as you can. Dua before dawn. This is also, we do this in Ramadan, very easy to do. Wake up before Fajr, we wake up for Suhoor. Make sure you make dua, you pray tahajjud and all. Then after every fard prayer, that is obligatory prayer, then after between the Adhan and Ikama, that time also your dua is answered when the rain falls, and a certain time on Friday. Now this time is unknown, but make sure you don't waste your Friday. You make a point that you make enough dua as much as you can. Let's see the next slide, inshallah, where we can cover more places and times where dua is answered. Okay, so these are more places and times where dua is answered. The first one is when the adhan is given, a person can make dua, it is answered. And also when you are striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when you drink zamzam water, the dua is answered. We covered this when prostrating, that is the sujood. This is the place where you are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when you hear crowing of a rooster. Now, here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you hear crowing of a rooster, it is as if the rooster has seen an angel. So, make dua. So, that is the time when you can make dua. Also, the prayer of people after the soul of a deceased has been taken. The dua of a sick is being answered. The prayer of the one who has been wronged. You know, when the person has been wronged, at that time, if he makes dua, it is being answered. The last but not the least is when saying the dua, one should start with this dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu mina zalimeen. Can anybody tell me whose dua was this? One of the prophets? Yunus alayhi salam. MashaAllah, very good. Yeah. So, Yunus alayhi salam made this dua when he was deep in the oceans, in the belly of the whale, and the angels could hear him. Angels heard him. So imagine, like, that's the reason it's being said that when you make a dua, you should make this dua, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no Muslim recites this dua concerning any matter, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer him. So always make sure that you use these words before you make dua, inshallah. These are for places and times when dua is being answered. Let's go to the next slide, inshallah. Okay, we will go through all the duas that we have done so far. A dua istifta, that is in the beginning of the prayer, after the takbir, this before Surah Fatiha, you read this dua, It is Allahumma Rabba Jibra'il wa Mika'il wa Israfil, Fatir al-Samawat wal-Ard, Alim al-Ghayb wal-Shahada, Anta tahkumu bayna 'ibadik fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. Ihdini limakhtalifa min al-haqq bi'idhnik. Innaka tahdi man tasha'u ila siratin mustaqim. O Allah, Lord of Jibra'il, Mika'il and Israfil, great angels, Creator of the heavens and the earth, knower of the seen and the unseen, you are the arbitrator between your servants in that which they have disputed. Guide me to the truth by your leave in that which they have deferred, for verily you guide whom you will to a straight path. Ameen. Dua during ruku. Now this dua you can make odd number of times. And you can only make this dua. You don't need to make the traditional dua, what we do. Allahumma laka raka'tu, wa bika amantu, wa laka aslamtu, khasha laka sam'i, wa basari wa mukhi, wa azmi wa asabi, wa masta qalbihi qadami. O Allah, to you I go in prayer, and in you I believe, and to you I have submitted. Before you, my hearing is humbled, as is my sight, my mind, my bones, my nerves, and what my feet have mounted upon. Ameen. Yes, you can. You can recite it with the other dua. Let's go to the next slide, inshallah. Dua during Qawma. This dua is while rising from ruku, and it is read in conjunction with the previous dua. What we do is when we say, Rabbana alakal hamd. After that, you can say this dua. Mil as samawati wa mil al ard wa ma baynahuma wa mil ama shi'ta min shay'in ba'd. Ahl al sana'i wal majd. Ahakku ma qal al abd wa kulna lakal abd. Allahumma la mani'a lima atayt wa la muti'a lima manat wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi min kal jadd. A praise that fills the heavens and the earth and what lies between them and whatever else you please. You, Allah, are most worthy of praise and majesty and what the slave has said. We are all your slaves. O Allah, there is none who can withhold what you have given and none what you have withheld, none may give what you have withheld, and the might of the mighty person cannot benefit him against you. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Let's go to the next slide. This dua is during sujood, that is while prostrating. And remember, this position is when you are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not leave this opportunity. And we just heard that dua in sujood is always answered, inshallah. Allahumma gfir li zambi kullah, dikkahu wa jillah, wa awwalahu wa akhirah, wa alaniyatahu wa sirrah. Now again, you can read it as odd number of times. O Allah, forgive me all my sins, great and small, the first and the last, those that are apparent and those that are hidden. Ameen. Let's go to the next slide, inshallah. This dua is in Jalsa, that is between the two prostrations, between the two sujood. Allahumma gfirli warhamni wahdini wajburni wa'afini warzuqni warafani. O Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, guide me, support me, protect me, provide for me, and elevate me. Now this dua covers everything, alhamdulillah. Ameen. Let's go to the next slide. Can we mix the words? Now, we have this as sunnah, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. It is always better to recite it that same way, inshallah. Especially in the fard prayers. Now, let's see the salah positions that we covered. We did qiyam, ruku, that is bowing down, qama, that is rising back, sujood, jalsa, that is in between the two sujoods. And now, today we will cover the dua in tashahud, inshallah. Yes, you can read that also. Now, this dua is in tashahud. Tashahud is a position which is the final when you are sitting after two sujood, you sit before ending the prayer. The first tashahhud what we do is where we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that is there. After that we make we do dua Ibrahim, and then after that we can say these duas. So there are many duas, and today the one we will do is also a beautiful dua, and it is from Al-Bukhari. It's the sunnah. Let's see what this dua says. It is Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kaseera wa la yaghfiru adh-dhunuba illa ant faghfir li maghfiratan min 'indik warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. O Allah, I have greatly wronged myself, and no one forgives sins but you. So grant me forgiveness and have mercy on me. Surely you are forgiving and merciful. Ameen. This is a beautiful dua, because this covers, you know, you accept your what you have done. You accept what deeds you have done. If you have done something wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it. Yes, after durood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that you accept that your what wrong you have done, and then ask for forgiveness. And this act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always like, and that is what Yunus alayhi salam did when he was in the belly of the whale. He accepted that he wronged his nafs, he wronged whatever he did was wrong. And then he asked for forgiveness. So this dua is almost like the same, that you accept your wrongdoing and then you ask for forgiveness, and also make sure that you don't do again wrong. And we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and most merciful. He will accept our dua and he will forgive us. Yes, this dua is read after dua Ibrahim. No, after dua Ibrahim. And you can add many other duas which we have in our sunnahs. But this is one of the beautiful duas that we covered in this one. Alhamdulillah, that completes our dua session. If you have any questions, quickly we can go through. Otherwise, we will move on to the next session. Any questions? No, alhamdulillah. That is good, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, that's good. I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. We will move to our next session, which is the lessons from Surah Yusuf by Sister Maryam, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How is everyone doing? Jazakallah khair, Sister Rukat, for a beautiful review. It was a great reminder for me as well, just to see how many duas I'm doing. So alhamdulillah. So girls, mashallah, you know, you have learned so many duas, you have learned so many techniques about Ramadan, mothers of the believers and the aqeedah, mashallah. I think you have a great package. So I'm really sad to say that this is the last week and we will be ending the course tomorrow, but inshallah, right, we'll meet again soon. With many future endeavors, okay? Inshallah. So inshallah we'll begin, and let's say the dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma. Amin ya rabbal alamin. So inshallah we will begin, and so who waits for the every week for the story to come, and then how it ends? Is it more exciting than any movie you have seen? Isn't it the one of the really best things? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, right? And believe me, the Quran is full of these stories, but they all have reasons. And we'll learn, inshallah, what is the purpose, inshallah, right? So let's do a quick recap from last week, and then we'll move on to the end of this story, inshallah. So a few lessons that we learned from last week and throughout the story, inshallah, throughout the story, that we have learned that trials and hardships are our chance to prove our iman. So for all of you girls at this age, whatever trial can happen, maybe you did not get what you wanted in school, maybe something happened with the friends or family, what do you prove your iman, your tawakkul? What does it mean, tawakkul? Quickly, quick recap, what is the mean of tawakkul? How can we have tawakkul in Allah? So you guys write down, I will read it, read the answers. Sabr, what is sabr? Patience. And then, okay, trust in Allah. Very good. So faith in Allah, trust in Allah, very good. Sabr is patience, right? The patience that we talked about. And taqwa. What is the word of taqwa means? Consciousness. Very good. All right, good. And istiqamah. What is istiqamah? Istiqamah means steadfast. MashaAllah. Very good, very good. And shukr. Shukr is your gratefulness, right? We need to be grateful to Allah. All these qualities, I know they're very hard, and it's a lifelong thing. But we need to really look at these. And I would really appreciate if you girls focus on taking notes rather than, fooling around, inshallah. Please do not open your videos, inshallah. And we should never lose hope in Allah's mercy and know that Allah knows and sees everything. And right now you are in the class, you are in the gathering where the angels surround. You have why? Because we are mentioning Allah. We are talking about Allah's book and the du'as and His prophet and His messengers. So angels surround those gatherings where Allah is being mentioned. So please focus and give all your 200% in this class. And anytime you learn Quran. Why? Because when we take away from the percent from what we are learning, then we don't get all of it. We don't get to absorb it, inshallah, right? And never stop asking Allah through du'as. Du'as are the only thing that can change destiny. Taqwa? Taqwa is protection. Taqwa is that we stay away from the sins. We try to protect ourselves knowing that Allah is watching. We all know, right, the goal of Ramadan. Those of you who did the lessons and gems for Ramadan with Sister Shaista talked about it. Taqwa means what? Attaining the God consciousness. That He's watching everywhere. When you're alone, when you're with friends, when you have your phone with you, when you're all alone in the room, in the house. That means that you know there's someone watching you. Alright? That is taqwa. And our ultimate goal is to get to the level of ihsan. Isn't that what we read? The entire story was about ihsan. What is ihsan? Let me ask you, because I've been telling all of you every week what ihsan is, and he's been called a Muhsin, Yusuf Islam. Excellence, right? When we do something at the level of excellence. And what is excellence? You go out of your way. Something is like, for example, in school, right? You get a B grade or like 80%. Is that ihsan? When you get 80% or so, 70 to 80, is it ihsan? No, ihsan is when you go beyond what you want and you get the highest possible. I'm not saying the numbers matter, right? It's the effort also. But one thing, let me tell you, the difference between your school and your deen. Allah looks at the effort. You can not, if you cannot reach the level that basically somebody, for somebody, memorizing the Quran is easy. They memorize it. For you, it's so difficult and you struggle so much, you only are able to memorize one juz or two juz. What happens? Allah looks at the effort. So let's focus on the effort. In this class, how much effort you put in, Allah will look at that. If you didn't pay attention, if you fooled around, if you just turned on the computer and went everywhere else and, you know, just hung out with your friends or family, is that ihsan? You tell me. Is that ihsan? No, right? So whatever effort we put in, that is when we reach the level of ihsan, inshallah. All right. So we'll go on to today's lesson, inshallah. The ayat, the surah is ending, and my heart is like really sad that we are about to end the surah. But inshallah, many more surahs to study. So, ayah number 102, we begin. That is from the stories of the unseen which we revealed to you, O Prophet. You were not present when they all made up their minds and when they plotted against Yusuf. And most people will not believe, no matter how keen you are. Even though you are not asking them for a reward in this Quran, it is only a reminder to the whole world. So, ayah 102 to 104. Now Allah is saying to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he concluded the story by the dua that we did last time from Yusuf al-Islam. He concluded the whole story of Yusuf al-Islam. There was a conclusion, the ending plot, and now he talks back at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said that, were you present at that time when they were doing all this? No, you were not. Right? Nobody in Makkah knew the story. So what happened? Now Allah said, we told you this story. This is a proof. This Quran is a revelation from Allah. It is a wahi. It's a revelation from Allah. He could not have written down because he had no idea. So, lesson for us. Allah said, those who ask for miracles and proofs, probably they will not end up believing anyway. You know, the people of Makkah, they kept asking for miracles and miracles. And did they get miracles or not? Did Prophet give them miracles? Did he show them miracles? Yes, in his lifetime, he showed them miracles, right? So what happened? They didn't believe. They still didn't believe. Yes, you know the story of Saleh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, all the prophets, every time, everybody was given, every prophet was given some miracle. But they believed in them? No. They used to call them magicians or soothsayer or, you know, you're a crazy man. That's what they used to say. And the Quran was the biggest miracle, exactly. Yet they did not believe. They knew the Quran was a miracle. They knew that. If you ever read Seerah, inshallah, you will know that people like Abu Jahl and Akhnas bin Shuraykh and Walid bin Mughira, they knew the Quran was a miracle. They used to listen to it, but they would not believe, accept it in front of them. Because they knew that this word could not be from a human being. Because they were the masters of their language. So, if you and I ask for miracles, for example, somebody says, you know, we know this Quran is a miracle, but whenever we feel like, you know, I don't know what the truth is, sometimes people try to manipulate us. And at this age, one of the biggest trials we face is the youth, especially if you live in the Western world, you know, when you go to school and college, because I have been to school and college here, so I know, even though it was quite a long time ago, but even then I had been debated. I had to ask questions. What happens? You start to think about, how do I... And whenever this thought comes to you, you say, A'udhu Billah. A'udhu Billah min dhalik, right? We cannot have any of these thoughts because these are from shaitan. So, truth doesn't need miracles to be proven right, okay? This is something for us to learn. And Allah gives guidance to those who seek guidance. So, all of you and myself including, do I ask for guidance or why am I here? Why am I asking yourself this question? Now this course is ending, it's okay to ask this question again. Why did I take this course? Because my mom forced me to, because I wanted to show my friends or my cousins that I am such a knowledgeable person so I can argue with them. What was the purpose behind me taking this class? Or I really wanted to get close to Allah's book, or I really wanted to get close to Allah, and I really wanted to become a better person. Ask yourself this question. Please be honest. If you took this the class for any other reason besides this, that you wanted to get close to Allah's book, you wanted to learn about deen, you wanted to know more du'as, you wanted to become a better person, if there was any other reason behind it, then we are not doing it for the right reason. So even if now you want to change, please change. Do not do it for any other reason. And one thing I will tell you is, because Allah says, I will give anything to the people without asking them. Do you know that normal Muslims, do they starve? Do they not have any food? Did Allah not give any of the luxuries to normal Muslims? Of course, they have everything. The worldly things will be given to everybody, but the guidance will only be given to those who seek for it. So for me and you, every time guidance knocks at my door, I get a reminder, I get a class, something, I need to take it. Guidance delayed is guidance denied. So know that thing. So we must not want any worldly gain for when we work for the deen. So for me myself, I'm teaching this class. What do I want from you? What do I want from anybody? Do I want praise? Do I want people know me? Do I want to be famous? Do I want some status or prestige? No, I don't want anything. All I want is that it is accepted by Allah. That's all. So if you ever get benefit from any other teacher in the world, be it worldly knowledge or deeni knowledge, make dua for them. That's the best you can do there. May Allah accept what they do. And I also make dua for all of you that the reason you took this course was to get close to Allah, to become a better person, and may Allah accept from all of you. All right? And one more thing, Quran is called a reminder for all mankind. A reminder is something we all know. So, I need to get reminded, right? Somebody says you have a test. Allah keeps reminding the same thing in the Quran. Why? So that we don't forget there's an akhirah, there's a day of judgment, there's accountability. These are a few questions we are asking because the course, you know, we are about to end. Let's not just end the class and say, oh, that's it, I'm done with the course. No. Have some questions and write down these questions for yourself. Do we really take... And don't say we, write your name. Do I, for example, if I am Maryam, see, Maryam, do I take this Quran as a reminder or just recite it with an autopilot? So do I take, write your name in it, do I take this Quran as a reminder, as a guidance for myself, how to channel my behavior, or I just read it because I recite it. One more question before we go to the next slide. Do I know all of the 5 rites of Quran? So all I want from you, write down the rites of the Quran and how many of them do I fulfill them? This is a question you need to write in your own notebook and answer in your own time. These are very scary questions. And you know what? You are young girls, mashallah, and I have such high hopes for you. Inshallah, one day you will be teachers and you will be spreading deen wherever you are. You can be in UK, in Pakistan, India, wherever you may be, in America. But you need to take this seriously. That's the best time to do. Best time to learn is in your time. Inshallah. In this journey here, you will move on to future courses and in-depth analysis and become teachers in the future, inshallah. All right? So the 5 rites of Quran, quickly I will go. Somebody wrote it, to believe in it, to read it, to understand it, to act it, to very good, to spread it. Very good, mashallah. Yes. All right, next, go to the next ayat, inshallah. Ayat 105 to 108. How many signs in the heavens and the earth do they pass by with indifference? And most of them do not believe in God without associating others with Him in worship? Do they feel secure that an overwhelming torment from God will not overtake them? Or that the hour will not take them by surprise when they least expect it? Say, O Prophet, this is my way. I invite to God with insight. I invite you to God with insight. I and those who follow me, glory be to God. And I am not one of the polytheists. So many lessons, you know, so many lessons. I cannot even begin so many things. First, I said they pass all these signs with indifference. What does that mean? It means that they don't even look at the sky and say, Subhanallah, who created the sky? Let me ask you, girl, this. Do you have a habit of going in the nature when you guys are driving or, you know, parents are going somewhere, when you are going as a family or even alone, you sit outside your you know, patio or your front yard, or you just look at the sky or the grass? Because this is a person who is a mu'min, who doesn't look at the buildings and say, mashallah, what a great building. He looks, or she looks at the person So the thing is, we look at the creation, right? We look at the buildings or any of those big bridges. We say, Subhanallah, what are the people who made it, who constructed this building? But we should look at the God, the creator who created human beings so they could create these things. All right? Listen to this very carefully. When we look at something man-made, any building or anything, any museums, any castles, anything, maybe even pyramids, right? Even the Taj Mahal or even the Eiffel Tower. Don't look at it and say, mashallah, who made the Eiffel Tower must be a genius. But who was the creator of the one who thought of the Eiffel Tower was a genius. That's a God. That is my God. Fatabarakullahu ahsanul khaliqin. And he surely is he's the perfect. So whenever we look at something, even man-made, change your channel, change it, say, who is the one who created that human being, building, or that construction? So we change the things around, right? SubhanAllah. Very good. It reminds you of Surah Rahman. Very beautiful. So the more, let me tell you, girls, the more you and I connect with the creator, we will look at things differently. Your life will completely change, I'm telling you. You will look at things so differently that everybody will be upset about something. And you're like, why are you upset? SubhanAllah, what's so upset? What to be upset about? It's Allah. I know it's Allah. And you smile and look up and say, Allah, I know it was you. Try to talk to Allah, and especially the next 10 nights are coming. I really hope and pray that you can do the best you can in these nights and in the days. Make so much dua to Allah. And for your future, that Allah make you and continue to guide you. So all these questions that I have in this slide, write them down. Do I pay attention to the signs, or do I just go and, you know, do my things? That's it. Do we ponder over the sign? Pondering over the sign means I really think about, Allah, how come the sky is still blue? Every day is blue. It is so beautiful. for thousands of years, for millions of years, the sky is still blue, right? And what am I doing? Am I living with life with the slogan, eat, drink, and be merry, YOLO, right? You only live once. Yes, we do only live once, but this life is a test, right? We all know that. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ مَلَّا. He is the one who created death and life, right? Death and life so that he can test us, whoever does the best of the deeds. So there is no second chance, by the way. We are not going to come back as another human being or a cow or other, like other religions think, though. This is it. The moment I see my angel of death, that's it. There's no more room for me to do any good deeds. We will not be coming back in this world. Yes, YOLO. Actually, YOLO is a very good slogan for Muslims. Why? Because we have to work hard in this world so we can earn the reward in the Akhirah. All right, girls, pay attention, inshallah. All these questions, you have to think about them and you have to really ask yourself, do I still have doubt that this Quran is not from Allah? Am I waiting for the day of judgment? When will happen? My judgment will begin the moment I die. And prophets call their people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for you and me, when we want to invite somebody, for example, in future, when you become teachers, all of you, inshallah, wherever you may be, you teach your, you know, students to Quran and, you know, hadith and, you know, seerah, what do you do? Do you say, oh, listen to me only? No. We tell them, we have to connect them with Quran and Sunnah. If they want to listen to Quran and Sunnah, that's what we connect to. We connect them, not with us, with the higher purpose, with the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? Alright, the last few ayat, and my heart is really sinking. Oh, subhanAllah, what a beautiful journey we've had. I'm about to cry, girls, but it's beautiful. So the last few ayat, inshallah. Ayah 109 onwards. We only sent before you, O Prophet, men inspired by us from the people of each society. Have the deniers not traveled through the land to see what was the end of those destroyed before them? And surely the eternal home of the hereafter is far better for those mindful of God. Will you not then understand? And when the messengers despaired and their people thought the messengers had been denied help, our help came to them at last. We then saved whoever we willed, and our punishment is never averted from the wicked people. In their stories, there is truly a lesson for people of reason. This message cannot be a fabrication. Rather, it is a confirmation of previous revelation, a detailed explanation of all things, a guide and a mercy for people of faith. SubhanAllah. So this is the end of Surah Al-Yusuf. What a beautiful ending. Just take a moment to pause and say, you have covered, if not in depth, at least something of Surah Al-Yusuf, one of the most beautiful stories Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us. What did we learn from it? Did we just take a class? Or did it really affected me in the heart? Why Allah tells stories in the Quran? For many reasons. So we take heed. We do change. Am I changing? Have I really been thinking, who am I? Have I really attained God consciousness? Am I really becoming a person like Yusuf alayhi salam? Am I really crying when I recite? If this Quran is not changing us, if this Quran has not affected our heart, if it's not made our heart pure, or it's not, then we need to cry to Allah. Ya Allah, make my heart soft. This Quran, this surah began with the Quran message that it was talking about Quran. The very second ayah was about Quran, and the very end ayah is about the Quran. Quran is hudan, it's guidance. It's also a gift. Hudan and hadiyah is a gift. So guidance is a gift. Please do not take it lightly. You know, ask those who did not, who were not born in the Muslim family, how much they had to suffer, how much they had to give up. We were born in a Muslim family with Muslim parents. Okay, I understand maybe some parents may not be as knowledgeable or as practicing. But the fact that you are in this class, you should kiss your mother and your father for enrolling you or whoever did and make dua for them. Wallahi. you know, I'm really shaking right now that if this Quran is not here to change us, it's only going to make our hearts hard. This Quran has this miracle that it changes the hearts. It really does. It makes the hard hearts soft, and it heals the broken hearts. So if any of you are going through some tough times, if any of you have gone through some tough time, it should have given you hope, didn't it? If somebody was going through tough time, wouldn't you recommend them to read Suratul Yusuf? How many trials did Yusuf al-Islam go through? Really? But wallahi, if our heart is not changing, then we need to keep connected with the Quran. Quran changed me, yes. Yes, when long time ago I began my first, when I took my journey of Quran in Ramadan. It was in Ramadan in 2010. When I did the first Surah Quran, I was crying the entire time. And I always wanted to learn the Quran, but never got a chance to learn the way I wanted to. And I remember this. We had moved to a new place, and I did that. And I was just making dua, Ya Allah, find me somewhere, some platform so I can learn. And Allah really opened up the path for me. And since then, my life has changed. You can ask my kids, my husband, they know that I will not stop teaching. I will not stop learning. And this is what I live by. And I make dua that all of you do that. I'm not a hafiz. But I wish to do that, make dua for me. But do connect with yourself with the Quran. This is what it is. And I will just share the dua, inshallah, before we go to the next session. We have this dua. You know, we have learned about all this steadfastness, all of this. Let's make dua to Allah. So let's say, you all say with me, of course I can't hear you, but I have the positive guman that you will read it with me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب Oh our Rabb, Oh my Rabb, لا تزغ, do not let our hearts, قلوبنا, our hearts deviate بعد إذ هديتنا, after you have guided us, وهب لنا, and you grant us from yourself, من لدنك mercy, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ, indeed you are the best bestower of the guidance. You know, I will tell you this one thing from my journey, that when you really want something, when you really look for something, when you really seek something, when you really yearn for something, Allah will open up ways. I will tell you one thing that, you know, some of the days when you feel down, when you feel like you haven't done a job, you feel like you have not done anything for people. And for me, and we all know this famous hadith, the Prophet said, the best of you are those who bring most benefit to society. So have a goal. Have a goal that you want to become someone who don't just live for themselves, who are just not here in this world. My life, my kids, my family, my husband, and future, my job, and my house, beautiful, and I have to decorate. No, no, no. I live for people. Right? Allah says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, you are the people who were brought out for humanity. وَتَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, you enjoin what's good and you forbid what's wrong. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and you believe in Allah. So, what I want, and tomorrow we will do a whole summary of it, and I hope we will be getting gotten lots of projects from all of you. I am excited to see what you learn from this, from all the sessions. But please don't ever let anything keep you away from Quran. This is your source of guidance, happiness, pleasure, and contentment, inshallah. And I wish you all the best. And tomorrow we will have a whole summary of Surah Al-Yusuf, inshallah. But please, please, have this Quran with you at all times. Whenever you're feeling down, just read the Quran. Whenever you feel like crying, just talk to Allah. And Allah will open up things that you have no idea. He is the Al-Wahhab. He is the Al-Razzaq. He is the Al-Wudud. All right? So, what I want is, inshallah, keep making dua in this Ramadan, Ya Allah. Like I learned this Ramadan, I want to continue. I want to continue my journey of Quran until the last day I live in this earth. and I want to go in this from this dunya teaching or learning the Quran. Then this is my dua, and you make dua for me too, right? Jazakallah khair. Inshallah, see you tomorrow. All excited for the takmeel, for the ending of this course. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair, Sister Maryam. So Yusuf is definitely one of my favorite surahs. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to today's Mother of the Believer session. Inshallah, I actually want to start off with a clarification of last time. On Sunday last week, we did Zainab and Khuzaima and Maimuna. And they are half sisters. I saw it in the comments at the end. A couple of us were writing that they were full sisters. They are only half sisters. The other question from last week was Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. He is, so every time I was mentioning Abbas and Ibn Abbas, we're talking about the Prophet's uncle. So they are related through that. All right, inshallah. Today we're going to start off with the story of Habiba, and I really like her story. I think we kind of see the same sort of pattern as in her story as we do in Salama's, as a very strong sort of person. Her original name, and we'll see on the slide about her background, her name is Ramla bin Saqr, and she is actually the daughter of Abu Sufyan. So just for some reminder, Abu Sufyan is from the tribe of Banu Umayyah. In Mecca, there are three tribes within the Quraysh that kind of compete for power. We have Banu Makhzum, Banu Hashim, which the Prophet is from, and then we have Banu Umayyah. So they are a prominent tribe before and after Islam. I was talking about Zainab bint Khuzaimah or Raham. Yes. Okay, so there's those three prominent tribes, and Banu Umayyah is one of them. There's a lot of great people from this one. Uthman ibn Affan is going to be one that I feel like a lot of people are familiar with. So because they're part of the tribe of Quraysh, Habiba ends up being one of the Prophet's cousins. Before we get to her story, just wanted to, I guess, mention, I'm going to mention Abu Sufyan every so often because he's the last of the greater generation. So Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab will eventually pass away, and Abu Sufyan will take all that power. So he's on par with those leaders, but he does eventually accept his. So because of who her father was, Habiba was one of those who were most at risk of torture and worse for accepting Islam. So she accepted very early. She and her husband were both Muslim. And imagine that her father, who was this great power, he really didn't approve of her accepting Islam. So she was very brave for doing so. So her and her husband, Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh, actually make the trip to Abyssinia together. So they both go to Habasha. And her husband, Ubaydullah, I think he's interesting. He is the brother of Zainab bin Jahsh, who we've also mentioned, who was one of the Prophet's wives. He's one of the few who would refuse to worship idols even in the days of Jahiliyyah. Even before the Prophet came, he refused to worship idols, just like Waraqa bin Nawfal, and he actually becomes Christian. So, Ubaydullah and Habiba, they travel to Abyssinia, and Habiba is actually expecting at this time when they travel there. So there's a couple of a lot of the narrations of the stories of Abyssinia actually come from Habiba. And one night when she's in Abyssinia, she goes to sleep and she dreams that her husband, it looks really disfigured. Either he looks really pale or something is wrong with his face, and it really scares her. So she wakes up and she's like, oh man, I wonder what happened. And she goes and asks her husband, like, you know, have you left the religion of Islam? And her husband, Ubaydullah, he says that, you know, now that we're in Abyssinia, this, the land of Christians, I've really reconnected to some of the priests here. And he does end up leaving Islam and he goes back to Christianity. And this is heartbreaking for Habiba. She tries to convince him, like, no, come back. We're here for the Prophet. Like, that's the whole reason we came on this trip in the first place. And he says that, no, I'm going to leave. He actually eventually, starts drinking again, even though, like, so he eventually starts drinking again. There's some stories that he was an abusive husband, but they separate, and he ends up dying in Habasha, in Abyssinia, as a Christian. So now she's alone. So she's single. She has her daughter. She's very distressed, and then she sees another dream. So on this next slide, we'll see about how she eventually does get married to the Prophet. So she's single in this foreign land, she has her daughter, and then she sees another dream a couple years later, and someone calls her Ummul Mu'mineen. And Ummul Mu'mineen is the name given to the mothers of the believers. So she knows that this is the title of the wives of the Prophet, and she wakes up and she's like, wow, that was amazing. And that very same day,
King Nadashi had actually sent a servant girl to give her the message that the prophet was proposing to Habiba. So she wakes up from this dream, and the servant girl in her chamber is telling her, like, hey, the prophet is sending a proposal for you. So the prophet had sent a messenger to Abyssinia and told and asked the king, Najashi, to be his wali, to kind of represent him in their nikah. And this is something that nikahs like this, nikahs aren't quite done like this anymore, but this was one of their customs. So the king Najashi represents the prophet, and then Habiba chooses someone else to represent her, and then they have their, I guess, nikah, their marriage. So she hasn't seen the prophet in like 15 years, but now they're married. I don't know the exact age of her daughter, but so the proposal for her comes to the Najashi, the king, and he takes it as this honor, and he decides, you know what, I'm the king, I'm representing the prophet, it's an honor, and he actually takes care of the mahr. The prophet beforehand was giving 400 dirhams for each of the wives as their bridal, like their dowry gifts, and for Habiba, she gets 400 dinars, which in modern day dollars would be about $70,000. So it's a lot of money. About like the equivalent would be about $70,000. So Habiba is so excited about this. She actually shouted takbir when she got the news, and all the jewelry and things that she had in her house, she gave it to the servant girl. The servant's name is Abraha. She keeps coming up in the story. So then they actually have a ceremony at the palace. They have a palace dinner. And it's like a grand affair. So then, Abraha would come and visit Habiba and be like, you know, I don't know, I haven't met the prophet, but I love him because you do. And I accept his religion and send my salams to him. You know, I think about this, like when I heard this story, I feel like people will always tell me, you know, send salams to your mother. And sometimes I'll just forget to do it. But Abraha came to Habiba every single time and always reminded her, send my salams to the prophet. So then Habiba will eventually do that. So then, in the seventh year of Hijra, Habiba travels, she leaves with a delegation from Abyssinia, and she goes to Medina. I don't know how much that is in pounds. It was 400 dinars. It was about $70,000. So, it was just a present. So, King Najashi, he was honored to be the wali of the prophet to represent him, and he said, I will pay the mahar or the dowry for her, and he does a huge amount for their time. Then in the seventh year of Hijra, she goes and joins the prophet in Medina. And this is again about 13 to 15 years later. And it's said that, like, you know, when she met the prophet, she starts talking about everything that happened in Abyssinia, what Najashi was like in person, and what it was like in for their entire party in Abyssinia, and all the stories. And she did mention the girl named Abraha. Habiba said that, like, when she was telling the prophet about Abraha and she passed on the salam, the prophet was smiling. He had this, like, really large smile. And that he replied to her salam. Okay. Let's see. So, while she was in Medina, this is, again, in the seventh year, so it's the year after the true year of Hudaybiyah. I'm just going to mention a couple of stories from her life because we don't have that much. But one of them is that when her father comes, Abu Sufyan, comes to Medina after the Quraysh break the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Abu Sufyan comes to Medina, and he's in a position, it's not a very high position anymore, because now the Muslims have power, they made this treaty, and the Quraysh broke it, and he comes to Medina to try and fix the treaty, and make sure that, like, it's still gonna keep going. And so he first meets with the prophet, and he tells the prophet, you know, he gives this, like, long salam, and he's like, you know, we still have our truce, right? And the prophet doesn't have to listen to anything he says, because he's not the one who broke the treaty. Abu Sufyan asks for the truth, and the prophet actually just turns away. Then Abu Sufyan goes after him, and the prophet leaves. And then Abu Sufyan is like, okay, this isn't going to work with the prophet. Let me go to Abu Bakr. He goes to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr also just leaves. He, like, kind of just turns away. And then Abu Sufyan is like, okay, who can I go to next? So the next person who's closer to the prophet after Abu Bakr, if we know it, let's put his name in the chat. Starts with a, not Ali, that's his relative, Umar, yes, it is going to be Umar. So then Abu Sufyan goes to Umar, and we know of Umar ibn al-Khattab's temper, and Umar is like, you know, you're lucky that we're not in an actual fight right now, because if we were, I might have killed you. because of the insult of asking for that. And I mentioned the story because now Abu Sufyan is going to go to his daughter, Habiba. He's going to go to her and try and be like, you know, maybe she can talk to the Prophet for me. So then he comes to her house, and they're newly married, okay? He comes to her house, and Habiba is sitting on a mat where the Prophet used to sleep. And he comes in, and he goes to go sit next to her on the mat, and she actually gets up really fast, folds the mat, and puts it away, and then sits on the floor. So Abu Sufyan is like, why did you do that? And he says, is the mat too good for me, or am I too good for the mat? And then his daughter says, Habiba says, no, the mat is too good for you. It's not worthy of having a mushrik like you sit on the same mat of the Prophet. It's not because she didn't love her father, because she did, but she also knew that, that was kind of part of her loyalty to the Prophet. So Abu Sufyan knew that he wasn't going to get anywhere with her, and then he actually just leaves. And I mentioned that, she did still love him. There was another story that, the two longest sajdas that she ever made in her life, out of happiness and thankfulness, were the day that her father accepted Islam and the day that her brother accepted Islam. So that's kind of their relationship. And again, she does love her family, and she did make dua for them. She didn't have any sort of competition with the other wives. I think we see this every so often. There's one story where she asked the Prophet, why don't you marry my sister? And the Prophet's like, do you really want me to marry your sister as well? That's kind of odd for you to ask. And Habiba was like, no, but I want other people to have the barakah of marrying you, and I can't think of anyone better than my sister. And the Prophet said, she's not halal for me. We don't marry two sisters. You can't have sister wives, I guess. But the point that I make, though, is that she wasn't in competition over the other wives. She didn't, have that jealousy that most of the earlier wives had. I don't know if you've noticed in the past couple of stories, especially the later marriages, they don't have that same sort of jealousy. She's just really happy to be married to the Prophet. Yes, she is the one who didn't lump sin in the mat. Habiba and Salama are really close friends because they were in Abyssinia together. There's one conversation that they had, about talking about the huge churches that they saw on the Prophet, and the Prophet said that, for them, they really celebrate their dead and put them, on altars, and the Prophet condemned that. She's also the one who narrated that whoever prays 12 rak'ahs other than the obligatory prayers, Allah builds a house for him in paradise. This is actually a hadith that is narrated by a couple of people, but for this one, whenever the chain passes by, each of the narrators would say it, and when I heard that from Habiba and from the following narrators, but they would never leave that. So Habiba says that after she heard the Prophet say that, she never ceased to do that. And I think about myself, I very rarely am able to pray all of my sunnah because I have a job, I go out. But right now at home, I have the time. So even if I don't pray all of them, it is certainly something that I can try and do more of, especially for the salah that I normally will cut short, that I normally won't spend as much time with. So I have the time right now, and I really implore you guys that inshallah, if you are able to, let's try and make that a habit. So after the death, after the death of the Prophet, there were a lot of political problems. She never really became extremely involved. One of the main ones was maybe the siege on Uthman ibn Affan. She really tried to help him get water, and if she was actually thrown off her mule because someone struck it, and it was after that story that, the mothers of the believers actually moved to Mecca for their safety. Her half-brother, Muawiyah, actually becomes the Khalifa after the four Khalifat al-Rashidun and after Hassan abdicated. So he's, number six. And his rise to power is very interesting. They kind of have a back-and-forth struggle. But even then, she really doesn't do a lot as far as politically. She keeps her grace. So a couple of lessons that I just wanted to pull out from her story. She really had an unshakable faith. I think we see that with her interaction with Abu Sufyan. She was really brave with becoming Muslim in the first place, and Abu Sufyan did try and convince her to leave Islam in the beginning. Things that I want you to think about. It's possible that the Prophet married her because of her relationship with Abu Sufyan, but when Abu Sufyan heard about the marriage between Habiba and the Prophet, he was actually very happy. He's like, well, she's Muslim anyways, and I can't think of anyone more noble to marry her. but they really value that nobility. I think in this day and age, we don't necessarily value our family lines as much. We might value like where they're from, but maybe not their actual family. For the Arabs, it was very important. Their family lineage was noble. So he was really happy with their marriage. Her faith is very unshakable. And we see that throughout kind of her life with her bravery. She was very down to earth. She remained humble. I think we see that most when with the story of her kind of giving away all of her wealth to the servant girl, Abraha. Later on with her mahar and her dowry, the money that she gets, she actually gives some of that to Abraha as well, kind of in part of her humility. And she doesn't have to do that for a servant girl, but she did out of that love and out of that her excellent character. And then she was diplomatic, and we see that with the way that she carried herself after the prophet passed away and in their the succession of power, especially when her brother came to power. Muawiyah was kind of an interesting character in that he might not have been the most perfect person, but he certainly did have good qualities. He used to be a secretary almost for the prophet. But she really kept sort of like very neutral after the prophet and during that the struggle between the powers. She made sure to like give her due to whoever needed it. She still paid Uthman ibn Affan his respects and Ali because they were cousins. They had that relationship. So I really liked her story because I think she's a very strong woman and she does a lot. So inshallah we can learn from her. Until tomorrow, we'll do a review of all of these, so check back your notes. And we're going to be making a timeline of the stories together. So check your notes, see if you have your dates in them, and then we will go through, inshallah, and pull out some of those lessons again. Jazakallah khair for listening and participating. And inshallah, we'll move on to our hafiz, so Sister Amina.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Sister Shifa. Inshallah, today we're going to get started with our Aqidah course. And today's topic is going to be on Ihsan. So I think you guys have covered Ihsan in several other classes. So does anyone remember what Ihsan means? Very good. It means excellence. So doing anything in an excellent manner with sincerity is Ihsan. But does anyone remember specifically what the Prophet said Ihsan means to Jibreel in the Hadith? That's very good, guys. Doing what is beautiful. It's the highest level of Iman. Worship as if you see Allah. Very good. Very good. Alhamdulillah. I'm glad. It was a long time ago. It was like the first day of class. So it's okay if you don't remember. So on the next slide, we're going to talk a little bit more about Ihsan. So yes, it means doing things with excellence. And the Prophet said that it's like living life as if Allah is watching you. Even if you can't see Him, just know that He can see you. So even though we cannot see Allah, we should always have that in the back of our mind that Allah is watching us. And like someone mentioned, it is like the highest level of faith. So we have Islam, which was the first thing Jibreel asked the Prophet about. So we call someone a Muslim. And then there's Iman and Mu'min. And then Ihsan, someone who has Ihsan is a Muhsin. And the people that have Ihsan will be the people the closest to Jannah, inshallah, in the highest level. Also, we have to remember that when we talk about Ihsan, it shouldn't just be in our like worship, like how we pray and give zakah and fast, but even our daily life, like how we are in school, how we are like in our society, how we are with our family and our friends. Everything we do, we should try to do it with excellence and to remember that Allah is watching. So, you know, if you're like working on an assignment for school or something, try not to like slack off or wait to the last minute or like only give 50%, but try to do everything the best you can. Also, whenever you do anything, you can try to make it a form of worship. Even something as simple as going to sleep or eating food or spending time with your family. How could that be considered worship? Does anyone know? Yes, you can make du'a and that would make it a type of worship. Your intention, very good. If it's according to Sunnah, mashallah, very good answers, you guys. So yeah, if your intention is for the sake of Allah, whenever you do any of these things, and you do it according to the Sunnah, like for example, when you sleep, you say your du'as, you make wudu, you sleep on your right, all of these things, alhamdulillah, it will become an act of worship and you'll get rewarded for it. So when you go to sleep and you say your du'as before bed, and you have the intention that I'm going to rest for the sake of Allah, so I have energy, so I can get up and pray Fajr on time, you know, or I can, you know, worship Allah better versus like, I'm just sleeping because I'm tired, right? And then all those hours, you're doing nothing but sleep will actually count as good deeds, inshallah. Same thing with eating, spending time with family, going to school. If you just have the right intention and you do it the right way, then inshallah you get rewarded. On the next slide, I'm going to talk a little bit about if people remember that Allah is always watching, then, you know, we would either like never sin or very rarely sin. But, you know, we tend to forget. Just like we know that the word insan for man, for human, means it comes from the word for forgetfulness, right? We forget. So there's a hadith in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet ﷺ said that the adulterer is not a believer while committing adultery. The drinker of wine is not a believer while drinking wine. The thief is not a believer while stealing. The plunderer is not a believer while plundering. And people are looking at him. And he's not a believer while killing. So that means in the moment when someone is sinning, they actually forget about Allah, right? So in a sense, it's almost like they forgot to believe in Allah. So this is like really serious. So we should try, obviously, to try to limit how much we sin. If we ever feel tempted to do something wrong, just remind ourselves Allah is watching, you know? And so that way we won't forget that he's always watching. I believe plundering is to like, sort of like stealing, destroying people's property, things like that. Also on the next slide, we're going to talk about like how it's not just Allah that is watching. We have to remember there are others that are watching too, like the angels, right? The angels that we, does anyone know who are some of the angels that are watching us and what they do? Raman Katibin, very good. And what's their job? To write down our deeds. Very good. So we have two angels. We have one on the left and one on the right that write down all of our deeds. Every single thing that we do, that we say, that we're thinking, you know. So if, you know, sometimes when we're doing something bad, we usually know we shouldn't be doing it. So we don't do it like, for example, when our parents are watching or if our teacher's looking. You know, we try to do it when nobody else is around. But it's impossible to do something with nobody around, right? There's always angels writing our deeds. So we have to think about that. That would, inshallah, help us to not do any sins. Also, it's not just angels, but also our own bodies are going to be witness. So Allah says in the Quran that that day, talking about the day of judgment, we will seal over their mouths and their hands will speak to us and their feet will testify about what they used to earn. So some people on the day of judgment, they will try to, they won't accept some of the things that they did. They will refuse to admit it because they don't want to get punished, right? So what happens is that Allah will seal their mouths so they cannot talk, but their bodies will start to talk. SubhanAllah. So even your own hands, whenever you're doing, like if you hit your brother or something, that's something your hand's going to witness, right? So we have to remember, inshallah, to try to control our anger and our emotions. But on the other hand, these things will also, there will be things that will witness for you, you know, and help you out. So the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, I'll go over this hadith and we can go to the previous slide, inshallah. Fasting in the Quran will intercede for a person on the day of resurrection. Fasting will say, O Lord, I kept him from his food and desires during the day. Let me intercede for him. And the Quran will say, I kept him from sleeping during the night. Let me intercede for him. And they will be allowed to intercede. So, alhamdulillah, right now, inshallah, you know, most of us should be fasting and reading Quran and doing all these good deeds. And these things, your fast, the Quran itself, will also stand up for you on the day of judgment and say, like, look, this person, they did all this for your sake. So that's kind of exciting, right, inshallah. We can move to the previous slide for a few minutes. I think some of the students needed that. I get a question. If a deceased person can see us from the sky? No, because the deceased, like we talked about last week, they're in the barzakh. They're in that state after death, waiting for the day of judgment, and they're in their grave. So they can't see us. They can't talk to us. They can't hear us, you know, those things. This is, I think, something more from maybe Christianity and non-Muslims, they believe that. What do they do in their graves? We talked about that last week too. Some of them will be rewarded in their graves. They'll get to see paradise. Some people will be punished in their graves. We ask Allah to protect us from that. Wayak, inshallah. Yes, reciting, very good. So reciting Surah Mulk is one of the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ. If you do that every night, that will, inshallah, protect you from the punishment of the grave. Okay, so hopefully the students finish with this slide. We can go to the next one. I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I deal with when I'm driving. I don't think any of you guys are driving yet. Maybe some of you are learning, but it's something I've experienced a lot is people sometimes where I live, they drive really, really fast. And then all of a sudden they just slow down. They like slam their brakes and it's really frustrating. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I notice a police car. There's a police officer and that's why they slow down. And so I think about it, I'm like, subhanAllah, when they realize that someone is watching, someone, you know, that they might get in trouble for speeding, then they're going to slow down. But they're not slowing down because it's the right thing to do. So whenever we do anything, we should do the right thing, even if nobody's watching, because we know Allah is always watching, right? We know that the angels are writing everything down. So, and that goes not just for our Islamic part of life, but even for how we are in society, like when it comes to following the rules, driving, you know, littering, things like that. So I like when people say, like, you should do what's right, even if no one is doing it. And you should stay away from wrong, even if everyone is doing it. I think this is really important for all of us to remember, because sometimes it's hard to be different, you know, at school, for example, if you're like the only person that's always listening to the teacher, always doing your homework, you know, you're trying not to misbehave if other students are doing it, or, you know, if someone's being bullied, you don't want to be that one person that stands up for the bully, because then everyone, you know, turns on you. But it doesn't matter if everyone is doing it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. So we have to, inshallah, try to stay strong and always do the right thing. And the same thing for the opposite. You know, even if everyone in the entire world is doing it, that's not proof that it's right. You know, just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean it's right. So we, alhamdulillah, have the guidance from Allah. We have the Quran, we have the Sunnah, we have the examples from the Sahaba. We have so much to teach us what's right and what's wrong. And there's that hadith that, you know, the believers will become strangers. There'll become a time where, you know, we'll be looked at as strange because of the way we dress or the way we act. And, you know, I remember sometimes people would be so surprised at how nice I was, because everyone else is usually so mean or rude or disrespectful, that it was a strange thing to be nice and to be good, which is really sad. But always remember, inshallah, that no matter who's doing it, it doesn't make it right. You know, you have to do what's right no matter what. Okay, the next slide, there's a lot of verses in the Quran where Allah talks about ihsan. I just pulled out a couple of them, where Allah says, indeed, Allah loves the doers of good. So there can't be anything greater than that, right, than to be loved by Allah. So that should be one of our goals, is try to be one of the muhsinun. And then the verse that, yes, whoever submits his faith in Islam to Allah while being a doer of good will have his reward with his Lord, and no fear will there be concerning them, nor will they grieve. So, jazakallah khair. Inshallah, I make dua that we all become from part of the muhsinun, and that Allah loves us, inshallah. So, that's all I really had for this class today. The last few minutes, since tomorrow is our last day of class, I just wanted to say a few things. Alhamdulillah, I really enjoyed teaching all of you. Mashallah, you guys were some of the best students I've had, very interactive, good questions, good answers, alhamdulillah. I just wish I could meet all of you guys. I know you're from all over the world, so it's probably not going to happen, but that's why I just make dua that for all of us students and teachers, that we are united in Jannah, inshallah. And I also hope that the rest of Ramadan you guys have, you enjoy it, make the most of it. You know, we're close to the last 10 days, so try to stay up during the night if you can. It's okay if you take a little nap and then get back up. Make lots of dua, read Quran and stuff. I also hope you guys have a great Eid. I don't know the situation where you guys are, but I know most places Eid is not going to be the same, right? We probably won't be able to go to pray and all do everything we usually do. But like, I'm planning trying to make it as much fun as I can at home. Some of activities I'm thinking of doing is like having a piñata, like making a piñata where you fill it up with candy and treats. There's like sparklers, like, you know, like kind of small mini fireworks I was thinking of doing, maybe getting balloons, making yummy food, things like that, just to make it more fun, even if we're still at home. And just being grateful to Allah for the blessing of being able to live through Ramadan. Also, I just wanted to say a little bit about myself. I know you guys sometimes ask where I'm from and where I'm speaking from. So as you guys know, my name is Sister Amina. My parents are actually from India. I was born here in the U.S., which is where I live now. So I'm teaching from a state called Georgia, and I'm 29 years old. Alhamdulillah, I have a little boy named Abdullah who's 3 years old. He's almost three in September. And inshallah, I'm expecting a little baby boy in August. So remember me in your du'as, inshallah. I wasn't able to fast this Ramadan, but alhamdulillah, I was able to teach you guys and do other good deeds instead. So alhamdulillah, it was still a really good Ramadan. So inshallah, end there and let Sister Harim do the review. Jazakallah khair again. Inshallah, I'll see you guys tomorrow for the last day.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khairan kaseeran to all of the sisters for such beautiful sessions again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of you. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of us, all our participation, our good listening, our focusing, our concentration, everything that we've done. Ameen. Can everyone introduce themselves like Sister Amina? I think that would be actually a good idea, inshallah, maybe tomorrow. All the sisters will have them together, and inshallah, one by one they can introduce themselves a little bit, inshallah. Okay. Okay, let's do a recap first, and then if you've got any questions, inshallah, we'll try our best to answer them, inshallah. Okay? Is that okay, everybody? Yeah? Yeah, alhamdulillah. Okay. So, we began our session first with a dua session, alhamdulillah, and we covered, subhanAllah, all of the du'as that we learned throughout this course, and we finished off with the last one, du'a in the tashahhud. Absolutely. And tashahhud is which part or position in salah? It can be a little bit hard to explain, but let's just use it in a few words. So the sitting down, yeah? And is it near the beginning or the end of salah? Near the end, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So after we've completed our last two sujood, and just before we end the salah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So another beautiful du'a that we can recite at the just before we finish our salah. But inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to implement this into our salah, inshallah. And again, just like we have learned again and again and again and again, that Ramadan is the best time to practice this. But inshallah, we will do our best, inshallah. We also looked at the different times that dua is accepted. So there's some times that we recapped over, and then there's some other times that we learnt today. So can anybody remember them? Okay, Friday, when it's raining, they're drinking zamzam, yeah. In sujood, yeah. Little qadr, yeah. Striving for Allah, adhan, yeah. Yeah, subhanAllah, there's so many opportunities. There's just so many, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to take advantage of these times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, reciting the du'a of Prophet Yunus, alayhi salam. Yeah, the du'a for a sick person when someone passes away. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Okay, alhamdulillah. Mashallah. Okay, let's move on to the next session. Alhamdulillah, we've completed Surah Yusuf. And again, such beautiful lessons and reminders for us. So let's write down some of these reminders. We looked at Ihsan, yeah. And Ihsan is excellence, yeah.
So doing excellence, yeah. Excellence in all parts of our lives, perfection, yeah. Or striving for this, yeah, doing our best. Okay, guidance delayed is what? You can finish that sentence. Denied, guidance denied. Guidance delayed is guidance denied. So we have that opportunity, or we're given that opportunity, we need to grab it with both hands and not let go. Allah Manadala, again, give us istiqamah to do this. And because as we learned, guidance delayed is guidance denied. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We also learned about pondering over the beautiful creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we see these beautiful things like the sunrise, the sunset, the beautiful countryside, all these kind of things. And unfortunately, we're not able to see many of these things right now, but the things that we can see, they all remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, mankind as well, absolutely, yeah. We are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanAllah, you don't have to look very far and see how we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with perfection. Yeah. Okay. Someone also said about the Quran being guidance. I missed that message, but yeah. So the Quran is the guidance. We're reminded of that. That Quran is the reminder for us and the guidance for us. Absolutely. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Anyone else want to add anything? You're welcome to, and we're moving on to the next session, inshallah. Mother of the Believers, and again, we looked at another life of the Mother of the Believers, and this time it was of Habiba, yeah? And first of all, she was the daughter of who? Who can remember the name? Daughter of Abu Sufyan, yeah. Yeah. And eventually, Abu Sufyan became the leader of the Quraysh when the others had fallen. Abu Sufyan had become the leader there. And so, what else do we learn? What do we learn about Habiba? Extremely patient, okay? Is very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is humble and at the same time strong as well. She had unshakable faith. Now that word unshakable actually, it does something to the heart that is unshakable. It cannot be moved by anything. She had a dream that someone called her the mother of the believers. Yeah. What's the word in Arabic? The mother of believers. Or believers. Can anyone remember? Umul Mu'mineen. Yeah. That's it. Alhamdulillah. She's a very strong woman as well. Yeah. Yeah. Subhanallah. She was given a lot of mahar. And who was this given by? Who was the mahar given by? Yeah, Abraha, the king of Abyssinia. Yeah, the king of that time. Yeah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Mashallah. Is there anything else we want to add, inshallah? She's very down to earth. Yep. The king was called Najas. Yep. He's very humble. Okay. Moving on then, inshallah. Keep your messages coming in. That's down to earth is another way of saying that she was very humble and honest. And she, you can say the opposite of down to earth would be arrogant. So she was not arrogant at all. She was very down to earth. She was very humble and honest and truthful. She's best friend with Salama, who is another of the Mother of the Believers. Yeah. Okay. Then in our Aqidah session, keep your messages coming in, but we're going to move on, inshallah. We looked at Ihsan. Yeah. So in Ihsan, what did we learn? Another meaningful Ihsan from the Hadith of the Prophet, excellence in everything. Allah loves the Muhsinun, live life as Allah is watching us. Absolutely. Yeah. We do everything as though Allah, we can see Allah, but even though we cannot see Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see us. So we always remember that Allah is watching. Yeah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So we learned about every good, yeah, our effort counts the most. Give you 100% when doing anything. Yeah, give 100%. There's no good giving it 98, giving it less than that. Do we try our best and give it 100%? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our effort. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, anything else we want to add? What else do we remember? Angels are watching us and they're writing our deeds. Yeah. And anyone remember which specific angels are writing down our deeds in a book of deeds? Allah will give us good results in Akhirah. Yes, the Ramans are doing. Yeah. MashaAllah. Well then. Yeah, our bodies also will be witnessed on the Day of Judgment. that our hands, our feet, every single thing will speak either for us or against us. Yeah. People in sin, if they knew that, yeah, if we remembered Allah, we wouldn't actually sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us in a way that we do forget. So we need these constant reminders. The Quran and our fast will speak for us. Subhanallah. Isn't that amazing? The Quran, more and more that we can recite it and learn about it. And the same way that we try our best to keep our fast, then the same way we will, subhanallah, they will intercede for us. I know you've got some questions, inshallah, we will complete answer them in a minute, inshallah. Let's just finish the recap. All our body parts will be a witness on a day of judgment. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Zakumullahu khairan kathirin. First of all, Zakumullahu khairan for being such active participants, everybody. So that this is all for you, inshallah. So there's a few questions, but if I make the announcements first again, which I made at the beginning, hopefully that will help. And if there's any other questions, please just type them in, inshallah. So as we mentioned in the beginning, inshallah, tomorrow will be our last session. We will begin at the same time, our session will be longer. So we will begin at the same time, but our session will be slightly longer, just so that we can share some of your feedback and the presentations that you have given. And going alongside with that, we have received, mashallah, so many presentations and feedback already. If you haven't done so already, please do send them in. Please do put your part in it as well. Remember, it's a Sadaqah Jariyah. So please do send your part in as well. And you still do have time, so you can share by up to tomorrow's session. Again, it is not compulsory. It's something that will come from you. So we do encourage you and want to motivate you to do it, but it's not compulsory. Okay? You can do both things. You can send the feedback and a PowerPoint, or you can, if you wish. Okay? And we'd actually encourage you to do that as well, inshallah. Okay. Inshallah, my introduction to my inshallah. Okay. Also, there will be some announcements. So please don't miss out. So please do attend the session and invite others too. For our last session, invite others too. And inshallah, I think that was it for the announcements, unless I'm missing something. Yeah. I think I said it. Yeah. Inshallah. So, please don't miss tomorrow's session. It will be inshallah, but unfortunately the end session for this course, but inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts that we have put in this from all of us, ameen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us istiqamah to go further and to do more and to join together in many more courses to come, inshallah. Okay, we will end our session there. Jazakumullahu khairan kathiran to everybody for your wonderful participation. Inshallah, we will end with a dua. Sorry, I just missed a question there. We'll finish with a dua, inshallah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antas tawwabur rahim. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته